The wait is over. The Chi returns with new episodes on Paramount Plus.
What brings you to the Chi?
Opportunity.
Everybody get down! Walk right up to
the sun. A new rain is coming to the South Side.
Never should have sent a boy to do a woman's job.
The Chi. New episodes May 10th. Visit ParamountPlus.com/The Chi to get a 50% discount off the Paramount Plus with Showtime annual plan. Offer ends July 14th. Subscription auto renews. Restrictions apply.
On May 23rd.
I want to go back to normal.
What's normal?
The Paramount Plus original series, Evil, returns.
We've already hunted werewolves and demons.
And now what? A baby antichrist?
Okie dokie.
Prepare yourself.
You will not beat us.
For the end.
I have visions of hell.
Make it stop. Make it shut up.
You're not gonna survive this.
Evil, the final season. Streaming May 23rd, only on Paramount Plus.
Jeremy Renner returns to Paramount Plus for a brand new season of the original hit series, Mayor of Kingstown.
My job is to create a balance, avoid a war.
From executive producer Taylor Sheridan, co-creator of Yellowstone.
There's some new players in town, and they brought the plague.
And Antoine Fuqua, director of Training Day.
I know it's always been a war zone, Mike, but this is next level.
The mayor is back in business.
Are you warning me?
You don't want to find out.
Mayor of Kingstown. New season streaming June 2nd. Exclusively on Paramount Plus.
Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of the Junkyard Dogcast. I'm your host, Jordan Hill. Have the whole crew with us on this Tuesday. Get Adams and Benjamin Wolk. Get ready for what looks like another busy week when it comes to Georgia athletics. A lot to talk about with the Bulldogs, who are going to be back in 2024, and even the guys that are turning their attention to the NFL draft. I want to start here, guys, and start with you, Kip. This is the first weekend with no college or NFL football in quite some time. Do you have big plans knowing that we're not going to be watching any football this weekend?
Who says we're not going to be watching any football? We got that Senior Bowl on Saturday. I believe it's at 3 p.m. I mean, come on. We got, what, 5-6 Georgia players in this? I'll be watching that pretending it's a regular game and not an exhibition for sure. You got to push this back as long as you can. I know, what are we at, like 29 weeks until football starts back up? So, you know, if you look at it that way, we can get this thing down to 27 before it really hits in. So for me, I'm pushing back as far as I can. You watch, this is the time of the year where any version of football you'll love. I'm sure, you know, once spring football starts up, I guess with the is it the XFL now? I can't keep up what the league name is, but spring football, you'll see some former Georgia players out there, I'm sure, as well. So this is that time of year where you'll take any form you can get, and I'll be enjoying that Senior Bowl. But I always like that because I'm a draft nut, and there's a lot of big time players playing in that event.
I got to be honest, I thought Kip was going to hit me about the Pro Bowl, and I was really going to get ready to push back on that.
Not a fan of flag football.
Ben, how about you? What you got planned? Knowing, you know, there are some All-Star games, as Kip pointed out, but no NFL playoffs, and obviously the college season's in the book.
Well, at the high school level, you know, with 2025s and 2026s, it's a good chance for me to get out to some workouts. So I've been getting my football fix in. They can't do anything with the football yet until May 1 in Georgia, at least. But it's a chance for me to go, you know, see some of these Georgia targets and prospects in person and see them work out a little bit and get a feel for what they're like. So I got to find a way to get my football fix in, even if there's technically no football going on.
Always finding a way. That's why we love having you on the team. Well, we know that the Georgia coaches have been busy this month, staying out there on the recruiting trail, getting in front of a lot of recruits. You know, at this point in the year, it's mostly 2025s and 2026s, but there's still a little bit of room in Georgia's 2024 class. And I want to turn our attention to a big target as we get closer and closer to the National Signing Day. Five-star athlete Terry Bussey was in Athens this past weekend, Georgia fighting really hard to land the former Texas A&M commit. And I'll start with you, Ben. What did you make of what you've heard from Terry since that visit, and maybe where Georgia stacks up as we sit a little bit over a week from National Signing Day?
I got a chance to talk with Terry yesterday after he got a little bit of time to decompress from the visit. And, you know, again, he didn't have much of a recruiting connection with Georgia until December. I mean, Dante Williams was coming from Southern Cal, really was his primary recruiting contact that helped him, you know, get interest in Georgia here late in the process. When Georgia hired Tre'Varris Robinson, that was another really close coaching contact for him. And so he hadn't visited Georgia. He wanted to get over and check Georgia out, obviously, with the relationships that he had built with Dante Williams, especially. That's really what got this thing in motion. I think that the Tre'Varris Robinson thing only made matters easier for him to realize, okay, I've got a lot of relationships here at Georgia. He brought something up really interesting to me yesterday, which, you know, I'd sort of thought about, but the fact that he kind of called it out unprompted, his relationships at Georgia right now are really running deeper than any relationships that he has at the other schools that he's getting recruited by. He's been committed to Texas A&M for a long time. That was with the previous staff. There's been a lot of overhaul there. He's been looking at LSU really this entire process, and they have a defensive staff overhaul there too. So he said, you know, really, I mean, he said, you know, he used the phrase low key, but it really, it's not. I mean, really, he has stronger relationships with Dante Williams and Tre'Varris Robinson than he has with the defensive back relationships at the other two schools. Now, is that going to be enough to help push a school that really wasn't in his recruitment until the last month and a half? Is it going to help push Georgia over the top? I think that remains to be seen. He's going on a visit to LSU tomorrow. He's going to have an in-home visit with Kirby Smart on Thursday. Brian Kelly still has his in-home visit as well. So just looking at the calendar of it all, you know, unless he goes in home tonight, which is possible, Friday would be maybe the most likely opportunity for him to do that. And then he'll be going on his official visit to Texas A&M over the weekend. So a lot going on for Terry Bussey between his visit to Georgia last weekend and signing day next Wednesday. To say that there's a favorite right now or that one team leans versus the other, I mean, I would say Texas A&M is the favorite because they still hold his commitment. But aside from that, I think that there's too much to happen between visits to LSU, visits to Texas A&M, and in-home visit with Kirby Smart to really decide one way or the other. I think that a lot of that will be decided when he gets home from that Texas A&M official visit. I'm sure that coaches will have their last pitches leading up to Wednesday. And, you know, I put this on the junkyard earlier today, but this is shaping up to be sort of an old-fashioned February recruitment, which we don't get very many of these nowadays. And so it's fun to at least have one. And Terry Bussey is certainly the caliber of prospect that warrants it. I mean, he is a legit five-star athlete. He could play on the offensive side of the ball. Georgia likes him on the defensive side of the ball as a nickel or in the star. He's really been developing those relationships with Glenn Schumann and had a really good talk with him this past weekend about how he sees him fitting in schematically into Georgia's defense. And so, you know, I think he's a really intriguing prospect. He's really, I think, a five-star across the board on most recruiting services, but I know that he is with us as well. And so a chance for Georgia to turn what's already an elite defensive back class into a really, really elite defensive back class if they were to pull off a stunner and flip Terry Bussey late in the process.
Yeah, Ben hit on something I hadn't considered, but oh my gosh, having a little bit of drama in the February National Signing Day, I feel like that's been years since that's happened. Kip, what do you make of Georgia's pursuit here? I mean, they're trying to add another very talented defensive back to their team. Just the fact that Georgia's in the mix here and trying to make things interesting late.
I mean, yeah, I would say that this is probably a swing by Georgia more than, you know, maybe them pushing to the front of the line. And I think you don't have the opportunity to make a swing for a guy like Terry Bussey at this stage in the recruiting process without the guys that they brought on board and T-Rob and Dante Williams that allowed them to have those connections to, hey, Terry's like, you know what? I should probably take a closer look at Georgia. They brought in two guys that I, you know, I'm close with and I have that connection with. So it, you know, it might end up being a swing and a miss, but it's still a swing. It's definitely a swing that Kirby Smart would always take in recruiting. He tries to, you know, improve the roster every opportunity he can get. And I'll add, you know, maybe they came into this third, maybe they're, you know, maybe pushing for second and still third. If you know, having to put myself out there and say they might end up being third for this or second, but this is the transfer portal era. So, I mean, you set yourself up for future recruitments. I mean, heck, this would the spring, if we have multiple transfers or, you know, the ability to transfer everyone, it would not be unheard of to have a guy enroll and, you know, dip out in the spring if he doesn't like it. And I think that for Kirby Smart, that's worth the effort he's putting in right now. You know, if he gets himself into that top two down the road, maybe, you know, he is playing for Georgia. And I think you look at what he brings to the table as an elite athlete. If he ends up in the nickel, I mean, that's exactly the guy you want. If other teams are rolling out there guys that, you know, are comparable to Ladd McConkey in the slot, guys that can just make you miss one-on-one, what better to counter that with an elite athlete like Terry Bussey, who, you know, is able to make those same moves on offense at the same time, has that elite athleticism to be able to play the position at a high level on defense. So I do think that, you know, this is a guy you go after. I'm sure that Georgia gave him a lot to think about, and I've seen teams be second or third when it comes down to the in-home visit and then knock it out of the park. And then, you know, all of a sudden you don't hear anything over the weekend. Everyone's trying to figure out what the program is. And you know, lo and behold, that in-home visit with the dark horse team actually sealed the deal. Kirby Smart's done it plenty of times himself. So I think just the fact that Kirby's got that in-home visit means that he's got a legit chance, and he thinks he's got a legit chance.
Yeah, I mean, I think you hit on the biggest thing is just even being in the conversation, you know, especially with the class. People may have forgotten Georgia's got the number one class. If you swing and miss on another five-star, life will go on. They'll be okay. And it's always good, as Kip had talked about, in the transfer portal era, you're building those relationships. If he does choose another school, doesn't necessarily mean he will never be a Bulldog. Be sure to stay tuned over at Dogs 24/7, where Ben, Kip, and I will keep you in on the latest on Terry Bussey as we get closer and closer to National Signing Day next Wednesday. Well, this isn't the only recruiting news, the only recruiting intel that is worth mentioning on today's podcast, because Georgia's got a very big weekend coming up when it comes to visitors. Bulldogs looking ahead to 2025 and 2026, trying to get in good shape too. Maybe get another number one class, maybe get another, you know, a couple more number one classes in the years to come. Ben, what can you tell us as far as how this visitor list is shaping out as we talk on Tuesday, and some of the names that people are going to want to keep an eye on as we go forward?
Well, this will be one of the two really big junior days of the January/February. This will be on February 3rd, so February contact period. That's by design for Georgia. I mean, the first one was at the beginning of the month, and they really emphasize in-state recruits. And then at the end of it, I think that they're really going to be emphasizing out-of-state guys that they could plan to get to Georgia by the end of the contact period. So I think you're going to see a lot of that. All of that said, despite the fact that there's going to be a lot of 2025 and 2026 recruits that are from out-of-state, and that I think will be interesting to see how those relationships with Georgia formulate, the number one prospect that Georgia fans will be looking at coming out of this weekend is Southern Cal quarterback commit Julian Lewis. He is an in-state guy from Carrollton, Georgia, one of the best quarterbacks in the country. We've talked about him a bunch previously and then leading up to this visit as well, because of the other quarterback visits this month from Ryan Montgomery and Matt Zollers, who's coming off of his visit last weekend. Julian Lewis will be the third. There's actually another quarterback that's coming in, Caleb Bailey as well, from North Shore, Texas too. So that's another name to potentially remember at the quarterback position. But I think that everybody who's been tracking this for a while knows that Georgia really wants to figure out what Julian Lewis's plans are, how committed to Southern Cal he truly is, what opportunities they might have to, you know, make a splash at the quarterback position pretty early in this cycle. And so Julian Lewis, I really do think, is the 2025 recruit that everybody is going to have questions about. I mean, Ryan Montgomery, even when I spoke with him a couple of weeks ago, or about a week ago now, he mentioned that he had that conversation with Kirby Smart. Like, he understands that Julian Lewis reclassifying is something that matters for Georgia recruiting. And so it's something that other quarterbacks in this class are aware of, and that they're addressing with Georgia through this process too. So I think him coming on this visit, seeing how it goes, what the conversations with Kirby Smart and Mike Bobo are like this weekend, will probably dictate a lot in terms of his timeline, which, you know, is all sort of interesting, because even though he was expecting to reclassify, or that's something that we've been waiting to see happen for a while, it does just change the timeline entirely of when coaches were going to be able to have certain types of conversations with him, and when they were going to be able to go and see him, and so on and so forth. And so because of all of that, I mean, getting Julian Lewis on campus for the last visit before the dead period hits is really critical for Georgia figuring out what the quarterback position is even going to look like in the class of 2025.
Kip, what do you make of this visitor list, specifically Julian Lewis getting him back in Athens?
It's time to figure out where they stand. I don't think Georgia's wanting to, you know, stretch this out into the summer. I mean, they want to know what his timeline is. They've got offers out to other highly talented quarterbacks. Like I said on the last pod, they've got, you know, 2026 quarterback that could be looking to decide soon as well. They want to go ahead and get this thing figured out, because that's kind of where you start when you're recruiting class. You want to know who your quarterback is. Obviously, the last cycle proved there's still the potential for chaos toward the end of the cycle. But, you know, the fact that that stood out so much just shows how rare it is. It was different. You don't usually have quarterbacks, you know, flipping their commitment at the last minute. So you want to be able to build that relationship, be able to tell, you know, offensive playmakers, look, you're going to be playing with this guy. This, you know, this is the kind of the face of this recruiting class. And I think, yeah, this is an opportunity for Julian to know if this is a better fit for him than USC. And so I think it's a huge weekend, a big opportunity for Georgia to kind of put their best foot forward. And I'm interested to see, you know, whether he actually has a timeline in place after this visit. You know, obviously other visits, every school is going to try to get Julian Lewis on campus. They know that he's open to other opportunities. And so I think, you know, his recruitment is kind of kicking in the high gear. But I do think Kirby Smart and his coaching staff, they want to have a good feel for where they stand with him so that they can go ahead and be upfront and honest with the other quarterbacks they're recruiting this cycle.
Kip made a good point. So often we see these quarterbacks wind up being the Pied Piper for their class. And you look at what Georgia already has in 2025. If you were able to convince Julian Lewis to at least open things back up, maybe, you know, really reconsider past USC, could be really big for that 2025 class. We will take a quick break, come back, talk about the Senior Bowl, some of the dogs that are down there, and then maybe talk a little bit NFL.
Should you ever set foot outside of the motel, you will be shot.
Don't miss the new Showtime limited series based on the international bestseller.
For the last 4 years, I've been a prisoner.
Why are they keeping you here?
Starring Emmy Award winner Ewan McGregor.
This is the brave new world that you dreamt of.
Be very careful. You are still a prisoner here.
Everything in this new world comes at cost.
This is still my country.
A Gentleman in Moscow. Now streaming on Paramount Plus. Only with the Paramount Plus with Showtime plan.
Hello, everyone. It's Mike Richards here. You might have seen me on CBS working on their Champions League coverage over the last couple of years. I wanted to tell you about an exciting new podcast that I've been working on. It's called The Rest Is Football. It's me, alongside Gary Lineker and Alan Shearer, two absolute legends of the game. The show combines topical debate from the world of soccer along with outrageous tales from our careers. And I mean outrageous. Just search The Rest Is Football wherever you get your podcasts. All the best from Big Meats.
It's the NFL offseason, but on Pick 6, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network, the football season never stops. Hosts Will Brinson, John Breach, and Tyler Sullivan are joined by analysts like Brady Quinn, Leslie Deuceable, Katie Mox, and RJ White to keep you in the loop on everything happening around the league. Whether it's free agents signing with new teams, the all-important NFL draft, or schedule release day, Pick 6 has you covered. As the face of the league changes with every team move and player pickup this spring, Pick 6 is a must listen. Download and follow on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, the Odyssey app, and anywhere podcasts are found.
Well, guys, it's a big week down in Mobile with the Senior Bowl festivities getting underway. Practices this week getting ready for the game on Saturday, as Kip mentioned earlier. Six Bulldogs are expected to participate in the festivities this week. Running back Dejon Edwards, wide receivers Ladd McConkey and Marcus Rosemary Jack Saint, defensive backs Tyke Smith and Javon Bullard, and long snapper William Moat. We'll mention that Cedric Van Pran was invited. Sounds like he is not going to participate, really focusing on the draft. And I want to get your guys' opinion. Who of the Bulldogs that are down in Mobile do you think could benefit the most from this week? Who could really turn heads, have a chance to bump that stock up? I'm going to start with you, Kip. Is there a name among those Bulldogs that you think could really benefit from the Senior Bowl activity?
Well, I mean, there's a couple guys that are kind of in the mix for, you know, the first round. And I know that obviously always is going to get the brunt of the talk and the discussion, which guys can become first round picks. But for me, I think Tyke Smith is a guy that really has a chance to increase his stock because, you know, made a lot of plays for Georgia this year, came off the injury and finally got healthy. You start to, you know, look at his, you know, his opportunity to get drafted. He may not have been a draftable prospect at this time last year, but now I think he's got a chance to go, you know, maybe the fourth round, somewhere around there where Chris Smith did in last year's draft. So I think for him, a guy who may not have a full draft grade on the board for a lot of teams, this is a chance for him to show what he can do when he's healthy and show, you know, kind of the fit he has at NFL level as a traditional safety.
What about you, Ben? Is there a name among these Bulldogs that you think we could come out of the activity down there in Mobile and say, wow, he really helped his draft stock?
Well, the one I'm intrigued by is probably Ladd McConkey because, you know, it's funny. They did the measurements yesterday and nobody's surprised that you're not going to look at his measurables and say, oh my goodness, wow, you know, shocking, whatever. But he's just one of those guys that when he gets on the field, I think that a lot of scouts down there are probably, I mean, a lot of them aren't going to be seeing him for the first time, but when you actually get him around guys that he hasn't been around for, you know, his time, I think people are going to be surprised just how athletic he is. Some of the things that he can do from a route running standpoint. I mean, his ability to create separation is what these NFL scouts are looking for from wide receivers. And there's, you know, it seemed like a joke almost at first when Ladd McConkey was doing it to people early in his career, but there reached a point where it was like, it does not matter who you match up against him or what you're throwing his way. He's going to get open because that's what Ladd McConkey does. And I don't think that that's going to change at the Senior Bowl. I don't think that's going to change when he gets to the NFL. Like, I just think that's the type of wide receiver that he is. And I think that him getting the opportunity this week to really flash that is going to be something that I don't know what it cements him as a, you know, first rounder. I don't even know, Kip, you probably know better than me, like what his draft stock looks like right now, but he's someone that I could see raising his draft stock and someone that I think a lot of NFL teams are going to have on their board wanting to pick come NFL draft night.
Kip, do you have a sense at this point where Ladd may be going into Mobile?
I think a healthy Ladd McConkey is probably on the board as a top 50 overall draft pick for most clubs. And I think what they're wanting to see this week is how he goes against guys that he doesn't know a lot about. I think one thing that kind of didn't get talked about near enough during his time at Georgia is just how much of a film junkie Ladd McConkey was. I mean, he would grind the tape and he would know exactly how to attack opposing DBs. And that's why it looked like he was more than one step ahead of most of these guys whenever he went out there to, you know, to break in and out of his routes. It made him almost uncoverable. He just had great rhythm. So this week, I mean, I doubt maybe he's been spending this whole time looking at the roster and watching their film. You know, that wouldn't surprise me at all. But if he's able to go out there and continue to get separation against some of the best DBs, you know, in college football headed to the draft, I think he has a chance to sneak in. Maybe not the first round, but I think probably the first couple of picks in the second round is probably right where I think maybe his ceiling might be when all is said and done.
I've got a feeling he's going to make some GM look very, very smart in the next few years. And my pick when it comes to who I think can turn heads at the Senior Bowl is Dejon Edwards, because I think he's a guy that just grinds it out, a guy that if you go back and watch his highlights this season, just so good at finding the smallest hole and taking off and making something with it. Not only that, but just being able to fall forward where you're like, this should be a 2-yard run, and he makes it a 5-yard run. Like, that adds up. And, you know, I understand that the running back position is so devalued. And, you know, there was a little bit of pushback on that during the NFC conference championship. It was like, hey, look at Jahmyr Gibbs. Oh, all this running back talk. And then he wound up fumbling. So I don't know if they kind of tempted fate with that. But, no, I think Dejon's really good. And I could see a set of practices where people come out and say, man, like, this guy is just so hard to tackle. He's a guy that we really like when it comes to how he'll translate to the NFL. Again, I don't expect that meaning he'll be picked very, very high because we know how the running back position is valued. But I think he's going to have a lot of scouts drooling over him and really help his cause going into April. Georgia men's basketball minute before we get out of here. Since the last time we recorded, Georgia went 1-1. They are now 14-6 overall, 4-3 in the SEC. That win was a wild one. Winds up beating LSU 68-66 with Russell Chiwa putting up a clutch putback and coming through on an and-one. And then LSU nearly hit a buzzer beater on the other end, but Georgia holds on. And then a few days later, they played Florida down in Gainesville. We're down as much as 21 in the second half, came back, forced overtime. I could not believe it as someone who watched it, the way they were able to come back. RJ Melendez and Blue Kane having a lot to say in that comeback. But Florida finishes it off. Georgia just really wasn't able to score like it needed to or get stops in that overtime session. So 14-6, 4-3 in the SEC. It really feels like this conference is just jam-packed full of teams trying to make the NCAA tournament. Georgia plays again on Wednesday night against number 24 Alabama. A big game, a big opportunity at home. But honestly, guys, I feel like the next game, Saturday at home against South Carolina, I'm going to go ahead and say it. This is a must win. Given where Georgia is right now, they're not really on that tournament bubble. They're on the outside looking in. Can't afford to lose to the Gamecocks because that's a team that is sort of ahead of them in the pecking order. And it's a win that Georgia needs to remain relevant. And again, a very, very deep SEC.
Yeah, you got to win the home games in the SEC and the rest of the SEC play as well. But it'll, yeah, it's interesting. I mean, these Mike White teams, they're cockroaches, man. You can't kill them. No matter how hard some of these teams try, they just keep fighting. And I mean, it's actually impressive to watch. Yeah, I'm with you. I mean, the Alabama game, I think, will generate some excitement tomorrow. But I think that South Carolina game on Saturday is a gotta-have-it game for Georgia.
It's one of those things where, guys, I wish I had a dollar for every word I've had to delete while riding in the second half. I mean, I had a story that would have won awards for that Florida game. And to their credit, they didn't give up. And they had the momentum, just couldn't really carry it once they got into overtime.
Yeah, that was a heck of a basketball game. I know probably some people's feelings were hurt a little bit more because of how it ended up playing out. But I think on the road, down as much as you are, Silas Demery, I mean, when do you see guys foul out 27 minutes into a game for them to claw their way back into it like that? They had to go with some weird rotations, like some Jalen Deloach had some minutes that I thought were really important with his athleticism, but just some weird rotations that they had to go with. And Good loss. I know that there aren't more moral victories, but good loss.
As Ben said, this Mike White team does not quit. And I do think they deserve a lot of credit for that. I did want to mention, too, on Wednesday, there will be an Athletic Association board meeting. I will be there. I'm not anticipating any crazy news out of that. I think it's mostly going to be updates on some of the renovations going around UGA, particularly Sanford Stadium. But I would tell everybody to keep an eye out on Dogs 24/7. I will have a thread of all the relevant updates and stories coming out of that as well. I want to make sure now and give the, and throw it to Kip Adams for the Atlanta Falcons report. Since the last time we recorded this podcast, the Falcons have hired Raheem Morris, a former Falcons assistant that's coming over from the Los Angeles Rams, was the defensive coordinator with the Rams, won a Super Bowl with the Rams. So, Kip, give us your take on the hire. How do you feel about Atlanta Falcons head coach Raheem Morris?
Congrats to Coach Raw. I think just as much about who the Falcons hired, it's about who isn't, you know, with the organization. And, I mean, I'll start off with just the fact that Bill Belichick is not with the Falcons, and that also meant that, you know, Rich McKay is not involved in the day-to-day operations. These are wins stacking on. I love what Terry Fontenot did in the draft last year. I love the fact that he's still going to be involved in the football operations. I know he's excited about still having a job with the Falcons as well. Just the fact that you bring in a coach who watched what Sean McVay's done the last couple of years, who learned from him, didn't get a fair shot with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, wasn't allowed to pick his own coaching staff there, was a lame duck coach of the Falcons. I think his time was now to get that head coaching job. And I love the fact that he brought in Zach Robinson, again, a young quarterback's coach. Actually having a quarterback's coach is just an amazing decision by Raheem Morris that, you know, the previous coaching staff never thought it was a big deal to have a quarterback's coach. So big for them. Bringing in Jimmy Lake, he had a top 15 defense at Washington 4 years in a row. He's a great DB coach. So I like the overall coaching staff. And I also just want to, you know, say sorry for George Pickens. I see the news that the Steelers have hired Arthur Smith, as far as we're talking about guys not being with the Falcons anymore. You now have Arthur Smith as your offensive coordinator. So whenever Pat Meiermuth is getting an end around to end the game and George Pickens is running out there wide open with no one around him, I'm going to feel bad for George. I'm not going to feel bad that he's not with the Falcons anymore. So good luck, Steelers fans, with your new offensive coordinator. Whatever Mike Tomlin saw last year to make him want that kind of offense, I think maybe this is just a parting gift that he's giving the Steelers organization for not giving him an extension already. He's probably just saying, watch this for a year and then peace out. But for the Falcons, I love the guys they brought in so far, and I think that this is exactly what they needed to do.
Kenny Pickett, Godspeed. That's all I can tell you with Arthur Smith coming in. Ben, do you have any thoughts on Raheem Morris taking over the Falcons?
Well, I hadn't thought about the Arthur Smith and Pittsburgh thing until Kit brought it up. But I mean, maybe that means Darnell Washington into rounds. I mean, the possibilities are endless there when you've got him full steam ahead on you. My thoughts on the Raheem Morris, you guys know me. My decisions are based almost exclusively on vibes, and I feel like the vibes around Raheem Morris are immaculate right now. So I like the staff that he's put in place. Feels like there's good vibes around them. The players seem like they've got good vibes around everything that's going on. So as long as Arthur Blank and Rich McKay truly keep their hands out of the football business, I like the way things are trending.
I like the hire a lot. He wasn't my top candidate on my sort of wish list. I think Ben Johnson from the Lions was probably number one for me, but really like the hire. I wanted no part of Bill Belichick. The biggest win for me is that Matt Patricia is not going to be on the Falcons staff in 2024, and I mean that makes me so happy. And also what makes me feel old is when they hired Zach Robinson, I was like, wait a minute, is that the Oklahoma State quarterback? And it is. And Georgia fans may remember, I'm pretty sure Zach Robinson went against the Bulldogs back in the day. So made me feel very old in the process, but I like Raheem Morris. Just please, please get a quarterback. That's all I can ask as a Falcons fan. I don't really care who it is. I'd be happy if they gambled and tried Justin Fields. Go trade maybe a third-round pick for Justin Fields, but just go find me a quarterback. That's all I ask for.
Kip, who do you want at quarterback?
I want Jaden Daniels. Yeah. I think you want – for that to happen, you got to have the Bears deciding that they're going to stick with Justin Fields. And then you probably need to have the Bears holding the carrot of Caleb Williams to the Patriots, the Patriots trading up for that number one overall pick, and then number three becoming a situation where the Bears would be willing to trade down again. That way you can get Jaden Daniels at the number three price instead of having to trade all the way up to number one and then taking Jaden Daniels over Caleb Williams. So for me, I think it's like the best of both worlds. You trade a couple of picks, but you don't have to do the Panthers trade from last year where you trade four picks. You have to trade two players, just give away half your franchise, and then you still have a one out of three chance of getting that quarterback pick wrong, which obviously the Panthers, it looks like they didn't pick the right guy as of now. So I like Jaden Daniels. I'm also okay with signing Kirk Cousins to a 2 or 3 year deal and just saying, let's ride, but drafting another quarterback next year to prepare to take over for him, because I think Kirk's got a couple really good years left in him. And I think we learned when we pushed Matt Ryan out early that was a huge mistake as well. So bring in Kirk. Let's win the division a couple years. And, you know, anytime where the Saints and Bucks can get pushed to the background, I think that's a huge win for the Falcons.
Can't wait to see how it plays out. Well, we will wrap up the episode right there. I appreciate everyone who tuned in live, everyone who is watching or listening to this after the fact. Make sure and go to Dogs 24/7 if you haven't already. Go subscribe. As Ben and Kip talked about earlier, a lot of big visitors coming into Athens this upcoming weekend. You don't want to miss any of that. Also, if you enjoy this podcast, please make sure and subscribe, follow, like it, write a 5-star review, let us know how we're doing, and that will definitely help us, lets other people see the podcast and come on board as well. Be sure to go to Dogs247 on YouTube, subscribe there. You got all the podcast episodes. Right now, you got men's basketball interviews on there. Once we get into spring practice, you'll have Kirby Smart press conferences and player interviews there as well. So for Kip Adams and Benjamin Wolk, I am Jordan Hill. Until next time, take care, everybody.